You're listening to Valley Public Radio. I'm Joe Moore. This Sunday, the Fresno Philharmonic welcomes the first of six candidates for the open position of musical director and conductor with the orchestra. The first one joins us in our studio right now, Samir Patel. Welcome to Valley Public Radio.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
I want to start out with some congratulations. As I understand, you recently got a promotion in one of your other gigs in San Diego. You were the assistant conductor, promoted to associate conductor in San Diego. That has to be very exciting. How is that changing your duties there? What were you doing before, and what will you be doing now?
Well, thank you, first of all. There's not much of a difference between the two titles, but what it does show is some sense of promotion and value to the organization. I've been there for a year now, and they decided as an organization that they value me as much as I value them, and so they wanted to take this step and ask me to extend my contract a little bit and to continue to do the work that we're doing in San Diego.
You've been very fortunate in that you've received a number of awards and honors, a fellowship, the Solti Fellowship, that's awarded to some of the most promising young conductors in the world. When you study with somebody like Bernard Haitink or Nimi Järvi or these other huge names, I think many of our listeners kind of have an idea of what it's like as an instrumentalist to take lessons with somebody. But what's it right. like to study with another conductor? How do you go about that process of learning from them?
It's a fascinating question, because I think most conductors would tell you that the art of conducting can't really be taught. There's a sense of mystery about the whole concept of conducting. After all, conductors don't make sounds. We stand up in front of an orchestra. We're dependent on them to create beautiful sounds. And all of these great conductors know that and understand that. But what they do have, especially the older ones, is many, many decades of performing a piece of music with many different orchestras. They understand traditions. They understand the pieces they're teaching on a level that I don't, because, you know, I'm a young conductor. It might be my first time with a piece of music, but for them, they've lived with it. They've had a lot of experience with it. And so what they do in those circumstances, they really share those traditions, and that's what's interesting.
Is it sort of an oral tradition, a handed down from one generation to the next? And, well, I remember when Fritz Reiner told me about this piece or something like that.
Definitely. There's an element of that. And then there's also the element of, you know, I liken conducting in a way to being a pilot. You know, you can study it in school, you can go to a master class, you can work with a great conductor, but really what you need to excel as a conductor is time and experience. Just as an airline captain would tell you, you know, you can be in a simulator all you want, but really what you need are those flight hours. And so these great conductors have those hours behind them, and they are passing on these oral traditions, of course, but they're also able to look and see what you're doing as a young conductor, as you're conducting an orchestra in front of them, and they might come up to you and say, try it like this because of this, or this isn't working, try doing this instead. And, you know, those sort of things are great to have experience with, because you're having someone with a lot of wisdom and collective experience sharing their insights about the art of music and the art of conducting.
So how did you get down the path that you're on right now as a conductor? You started out as a pianist and certainly mm-hmm. have had great success now in your young career. How did you get where you are today?
Well, I'm a musician today because of public school music education. I grew up in a small town in Port Huron, Michigan, and my parents really thought it was important for me to play an instrument, both at home and also in school. And so they chose piano for me when I was about 9 years old, and I very much did not want to play piano at that age. And they made me do it. They said, you're going to take lessons from the neighborhood teacher. And then after that, they said, well, now you're in middle school. Now you have to play an instrument in band. I chose a saxophone. And it wasn't until high school when I really got the bug with music. And I think a lot of that was because I was studying with a wonderful piano teacher at the time. And also, I had a great band director, who was an outstanding conductor, a wonderful leader, a great teacher. And he could see that I was enthusiastic about music. And at the same time, I didn't know what was out there. I didn't know about orchestras. I didn't know about orchestral music. And so he started introducing me to the classics. He'd come to school one day, and this is, you know, me as a freshman or sophomore, and hand me a CD of Sibelius' Second Symphony, which is on the program this weekend, or the Mozart Requiem, or Beethoven 9, or Mahler's Second Symphony, all of these great masterpieces. I was introduced to them because of him. And so along with my love of music that was developing, I saw that one of the great ways to express this love with this outstanding music was by being a conductor. And it wasn't until I got to music school, the University of Michigan, during my undergraduate years, where I started to study conducting and really developed after that.
One of the big questions in the world of classical music that not just the Fresno Philharmonic, but almost every orchestra is asking today is, how can we reach new audiences? How can we reach millennials? How can we make classical music relevant today? How do you feel that the symphony orchestra format is relevant in this 21st century as a millennial?
It's an interesting question, because I don't know that anybody has the answer. I think that young people are fascinated by great musical experiences, by great artistic experiences, but they want to hear something that's interesting. You know, there's a reason why, for instance, this summer in San Diego, I went to the Old Globe to see Hamlet. And, you know, Hamlet's been around for hundreds of years, but people still want to go see it. But in this case, they had the opportunity to see Hamlet stage in almost in a hospital. And that was interesting, you know. So the concert experience, I think what we do is we play great music that's been around for a long time. But, you know, somewhere along the line, we fail to share with people what makes it interesting today. What makes it interesting for someone to drop what they're doing, go into a concert hall, turn off their phone perhaps, and just sit there and listen to something written by a dead composer that's been gone for a couple of hundred years now. So I don't know that the art form has to change. I think that what has to change about it is the engagement level. You know, I think people, especially young people, want to know, what is it about this music that makes it interesting that they're about to hear? That can come from the podium. That can come from pre-concert activities. That could come from intermission or post-concert activities. But I think that getting people in the door is the challenge. Once they're in the door, I think people are hungry enough to want to know more about what they're experiencing.
If you just joined us today on Valley Public Radio, our guest is Samir Patel. He is the first of six candidates vying for the position of a musical director and conductor of the Fresno Philharmonic. He presents a concert with the orchestra this Sunday, featuring works by Mozart, Sibelius, also a contemporary work by Leshnov, Starburst. I want to ask you about that, beginning the concert with the work of a living, a present-day composer.
So I find, you know, I find it so important, and this goes back to your last question about engaging young people, engaging audiences of all ages, really. For me, orchestras are not museums. They shouldn't just be there to present music that's been around for hundreds of years. There are young composers out there, living composers, that are writing extraordinary music that are pushing the envelope a little bit. And I think in order to experience older music, it helps for us to also understand what's new. So for me, I believe in modern living music. I believe in great music, of course, but I think it's important to present, I think it's important for conductors, that is, to present works by living American composers, at least in this country. And so for me, I thought this piece, it's 8 minutes long. It was written in 2010. Jonathan Leshnov is a present voice out there in American music at the moment. And he's based in Baltimore, and he's written a lot of scores for the Atlanta Symphony. Many other orchestras have been performing his works. And I thought, this is a great piece. For me, there's a sense of optimism in the work. And I think this pairs well, in a way, with the Sibelius. you know, Sibelius was essentially a 20th century composer, and I think most people don't realize, you know, he died in the 1950s. So, because his music in a way sounds very old and romantic at times, but there's very much a modern streak in his music. And so I wanted to juxtapose those two voices, the modern living voice and the modern 20th century voice.
Let's talk about Sibelius. The first movement of that symphony is rather remarkable in the way that he develops the themes. And it does sound, I listened to it last night and was preparing for this interview, and it struck me just how modern it was. Tell me a little more about what you think makes the second symphony special.
I think that there is this mix of old and new. I mean, one of the great things about Sibelius is that the guy really knew how to write a melody, without a doubt. I mean,
everyone knows Finlandia.
Exactly. And he was a very melodic composer. And yet at the same time, he was very innovative when it came to structure and came to form. In fact, about this second symphony, in this first movement, he talks about as if God had thrown a mosaic down on the ground and it was up to him to put the pieces back together. And so when you get to the development section of the first movement of the second symphony, you hear him trying to piece together all of these different motives, and almost comes, you eventually get to the moment where he masters it, where he finishes the puzzle. And I think that's one of the things that makes that first movement great, certainly. But you also get to experience how modern and innovative he is. The beginning sounds the most D major piece ever written in the very opening, very melodic. And then Sibelius slowly emerges out of that, his creativity and his genius.
You mentioned that it's important to understand older music with the context of what's happening today. Mm-hmm. In between those pieces, something from the 20th century essentially, right, something from the 21st century, you have Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 20. Tell me about that and elaborate more on that idea about how the present can inform the past, our view of the past.
Well, it's, you know, it's hard to put your finger on, but for me, I've always feel, for instance, if you were to take another composer like Beethoven in his day was very modern, but one can hear a performance today of the Fifth Symphony that makes it sound almost like it's a modern experience. And Mozart is very old in a sense. It is very much a traditional classical piece, the Mozart Piano Concerto that we'll be playing. But in a way, I think that by understanding these two creative geniuses surrounding it, who very much, I think, were geniuses, Leshnov still is, I think, is still writing music, of course. But with Mozart, it's music of divine genius. You know, there's a different sense of compositional mastery to it, and I think that just experiencing those two pieces just kind of what's great about the Mozart is it provides a little bit of refreshment between those two pieces.
It's very easy, I think, for listeners today to understand the beauty and remarkable genius of Mozart. Do we also perhaps, though, lose sight of the context of how significant he was in terms of, you talk about the new sound, something that's right, new, how revolutionary he was in that way.
Yeah.
In his day.
Obviously, Mozart at the time, I mean, he, at this stage, the piece is from 1785, and I just this month was guest conducting in Italy, and I did the 35th Symphony and the 36th. The 36th is the Linz Symphony, which many people say is the beginning of the late period of Mozart. I mean, he was still a young man at this point. But what's interesting about that 36th Symphony, and at least this is my own observation, is that you get a sense that he has a rush of ideas. Like, all of these ideas are coming to his mind, and he's just running with it. And of course, Mozart being Mozart, he could do anything. And I feel that with this same piano concerto, which comes just before the Linz Symphony, you get this sense of Mozart also going into uncharted territory a little bit, both with the form as well as the color of the music. This is right before Don Giovanni, the opera, kind of the D minorness of the piano concerto kind of signals, you know, that this opera world to come, the darkness of this opera. I think it came at a very interesting stage in Mozart's development, this piece.
Samir Patel is with us today on Valley Public Radio. What is this experience like for you? This is not the first time you've gone around to an orchestra and as guest conductor. Also, this is essentially a job interview,
right?
Not just today, but your overall time here in Fresno. Tell me what it's like to be on that side of the table, so to speak.
Well, it's great because, you know, sometimes you'll go somewhere as a guest conductor and the majority of your time is usually spent in a hotel room studying and preparing for rehearsals and thinking about the next programs you're conducting or whatever. But you're very much singularly focused on the task at hand, which is to conduct and rehearse an orchestra. What's so great about this opportunity is you get outside of that world a little bit. You get to meet so many wonderful people, as I have just in the 24 hours that I've been here. You get to see a side of the community that you never would have seen had you not, had you just been in a hotel room stuck in there all the time. And so that's part of this experience, is really seeing what makes Fresno special over these next few days. And I'm start rehearsing the orchestra on Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to that. But there's so much more about this process, I should say, is about getting to know the people and the city and why this orchestra is so special.
Stephen Wilson, the executive director, was here on Tuesday, and I asked him, well, what are you looking for in a new conductor and a new musical director? What are you looking for in a new orchestra and a new home?
I'm looking for an enthusiasm, I should say, about not only making great art, but making great music that means something to people, to the people it serves, to the community it serves. I think one of the great challenges for orchestras now in the 21st century is really taking it from this antiquated institution of we just make insular music and we just leave it at that, to no, there are people that out there that deserve great music and would love the opportunity to hear it. So that's what drives me as a conductor, is I love music, I love conducting, I love working with orchestras, but I love people. And I love the idea of getting to meet people and getting to meet people through music and being able to share this great art form with them.
You've had a great opportunity to do some of that in San Diego with the Young People's Concerts. Tell me more about that experience.
I love doing Young People's Concerts. I love doing any kind of music education. Like I said earlier in the interview, I am here today because of public school music education. And when you travel around the country, as I have, you learn that music education in schools is not quite what it used to be 10, 15, 20, 50 years ago. Less and less people, young people are getting, they're no longer getting exposure to classical music. And so I find it to be a great mission for me, is to say, how can we share this great music with these young people? And so I go into schools, I have them in our Young People's Concerts, we bring them to the concert hall, we perform this music. And my whole philosophy with this is that when you have anybody in the concert hall, but especially a young person, it is sometimes the unfortunate situation, but it can be someone's first and last time ever in a concert hall. So there's a great challenge for the people on stage, particularly me, to make that opportunity, you know, as amazing as it can be, to really make the music great, but to also share an enthusiasm about the music. I love interacting with the students before and after the concerts, talking to them, giving them high fives, asking them where they're from, what their story is, if they play instruments. I think this is all part of a conductor's job description nowadays, is to really to be an evangelist for music education.
Before we go, you got to spend some of the summer at the Concertgebouw. Tell me about that. No, you didn't.
Not at the Concertgebouw. I worked with the conductor of the Concertgebouw, Daniele Gatti, who is, he just started. He had his opening concerts there just a couple of weeks ago. And Maestro Gatti is one of the greatest conductors alive today. And it was just an enormous honor to study with someone of that caliber. I've worked with many great conductors. I've been very fortunate in that regard. But to work with a musician, I mean, this goes back to your earlier question about what is it that they're willing to share. I mean, some of these musicians have gifts that are superhuman in a way. And what was so fascinating about working with him is that he not only has these incredible gifts, but he has an ability to share and teach them his experiences to young conductors. And so it was a great experience. I studied in Italy, in Siena, with him for 2 weeks, and that was unforgettable. Absolutely unforgettable.
Not a bad place to spend 2 weeks. Not
at all.
In the summer.
Not at all.
Again, our guest today on Valley Public Radio is Samir Patel. He is currently the associate conductor of the San Diego Symphony. He is one of six finalists in the contest to become the next musical director and conductor of the Fresno Philharmonic, presenting a concert on Sunday at 3 p.m. at the William Saroyan Theater. Tickets are available through the Philharmonic box office. The concert features music by Jonathan Leshnoff, his piece Starburst, Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 20, and the Second Symphony of John Sibelius. Samir, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.